You are listening to The Pulse, Rod Murray's e-learning tech podcast.
Number 186, ProctorTrack, interview with Raj Kumar. That short teaser was from a classical piece called Butterflies in Love by Sir Cubworth. Stay tuned for the full piece at the end of my podcast. Today's podcast episode is sponsored by D2L. You may know their main product, the Brightspace Learning Management System. I, of course, would only accept sponsorship from companies and products that I'm very fond of. So please check out their website at d2l.com/pulsepodcast to learn more. In the interest of full disclosure, my institution, the University of the Sciences, uses D2L Brightspace. I also invite you to follow me on Twitter. My handle is RodsPods. As always, I post links to the things we talk about on my show notes website at www.rodspulsepodcast.com. The topic today is an interview with Rajneesh Kumar, who's the CEO and the co-founder of Verificient Technologies. You may know about their product. It's called ProctorTrack. It leverages automation and live proctoring using AI to deliver automatic proctoring solutions. We discuss the evolution of Verificient and ProctorTrack, the need for identity verification and remote proctoring, their product VeriPass for identity verification, biometrics, how ProctorTrack works, support of Chromebooks, support for a second camera, which is very interesting, use in testing centers, and their future innovations. I recorded this back in March when the full brunt of the pandemic was hitting schools like ours, and a lot of institutions were beginning to rely more on products like this for proctoring their online exams. So it certainly has a new importance in this new normal we're living through. So without further ado, here is my interview with Raj Kumar. Raj, thank you so much for joining me today and talking to my audience about your company and your product. Very pleased to talk to you today. How are you and where are you calling from?
Thank you, Rod. I'm doing okay, just overwhelmed with everything going on. I'm right now in Edison, New Jersey, very close to New York, and going through day by day with everything going on.
Yeah, it's a really tough environment. Everybody's working from home. Our poor faculty, some of whom have never taught online before, are being thrown into using synchronous web conferencing using Zoom and other products. So it's a new world. So before we get into some of the real details of the product, I'm interested a little bit about your background and how your company evolved.
Yeah, certainly. My background, like I grew up in India. I went to IIT, did my bachelor's in computer science, and then came to US for my grad study. So I went to Rice University in Houston and then Georgia Tech, finished my PhD. And after that, me and my advisor, we were looking at camera sensor network, especially Atlanta Airport, where hundreds of cameras. But when we went to the control room, it's so hard to manage so many video streams coming from all those cameras. So we were working on research project on how to really analyze large scale camera streams in real time so that we can act more proactively if we need to. At the same time, I was given an opportunity to teach remotely for Georgia Tech in South Korea. And while I was teaching there, a student asked me if I can proctor him taking exam. And that's how it all started. I felt that sitting next to a student and proctoring 2 hours was, there has to be some better way to do it. And we then filed a patent on using this AI for remotely administering exam and online proctoring because the market was not ready. So we just filed the patent and continued to work on other ideas. Then around 2013, we felt that with Coursera and Udacity, and they were really coming up, moving fast, trying to democratize education. And that's when we felt this may be a time to really build a product about it. So I met my co-founders and we formed Verificient. We were lucky to get into Kaplan TechStars Accelerator, and that really helped us build the product, the Proctor Track. And with time, yeah, we understood the requirement, how online proctoring should be done, and we improved it all along, added different ways of doing this. But, you know, in general, we always wanted students to be able to take exams from anywhere, because that really was key for making this online learning successful, because everybody needs a degree, right? At the end, they want to show that, okay, they went to two-year online learning and the degree they got is acceptable. If it is not acceptable, then students will not go for it. And that's why we felt it is so, so important that online proctoring should be something that people trust. And that has been the key driver and key mission of Verificient, to come up ways in which online proctoring is not just a checkbox, but really something that is trustable, that yes, when somebody went through this online proctoring, students did follow the exam rules, and that's what is Proctor Track about.
So in the beginning, I guess, was there any automation, or was it pretty much having a call center where people were monitoring video on the students' computers? How did that evolve?
Yeah, that's a good question. So in the beginning, we started using AI from the beginning because that we felt has to be done. Otherwise, it won't fly, in the sense that we won't be able to scale. However, AI has its own limitation, and we don't want to have results which need so much review by the faculties that is too much extra work. So we did add a human in the loop AI so that our results are trustable. So it was AI, which was really early stage, plus human in the loop to review the results. And that's why we made it happen.
I see. So you had your own staff workers that would the AI flag, you know, potential issues, and then you would review it and mark it in some way?
Yeah. So AI will flag a bunch of issues. It may miss some. So there will be false positives and false negatives. Now we build the tools for a human QC person to be able to quickly decide whether those flags are all correct, or if they did not miss anything which was not picked up by the AI.
I see. In addition to proctoring, how do you know that the person taking the test is the student that is getting the financial aid? Because that's an important issue these days.
Yeah, you're right. And certainly, identity verification is so important in today's online world and for education, as you said, for getting financial aid. We did build a process in place where identity verification is always one of the first steps any learner does as a part of taking a proctored exam. So in Proctor Track, students go through what is called onboarding process. And as part of that process, they show their photo ID and we manually verify that photo ID is genuine and it is matching with the name being passed from the exam system or learning management system. So identity verification is one of our product, which is part of the whole suite. And we call it onboarding or VeriPass.
VeriPass, yes. So this is intrigues me. So a student, if I have it right, the student, you see their face, and then they're in this onboarding process, they're asked to hold up their school ID or a driver's license or some case, I guess, a passport. So is it merely comparing names or actually doing something to compare the actual photos?
Yeah. No, both name and photo, they are compared and made sure they are matching. So it's something like name we get from the learning management system and we compare that name. So that means the student who is coming authenticated to take the exam is the same student whose name is registered and was is going to get a degree, right? And then we match the face with the face on photo ID and then we approve it. Now, photo ID can be school photo ID or it can be driver's license. It all depends upon how strict you want to be as a school administrator. So you decide what kind of photo ID is acceptable.
Do you use facial recognition or is it a manual process with your staff?
So the first time when we match the photo in the photo ID with the face of the student, it is a manual process. And mainly because holding photo ID and capturing that in webcam always leads to having a quality which is not good enough that you can use AI accurately to say, yes, it is really that same student. So, and also lots of times people use photo ID, which is 5 year old and face may have changed slightly. So yeah, that's why we added the manual step at that point. Afterwards, once the verification is done, when they come to take the real exam, at that time, facial recognition is used automatically to make sure it's the same student.
Right, because then you have the same quality because they're both taken from the webcam or the built-in camera.
Right.
On their computer. Interesting. So now I imagine you have a bunch of students taking an exam, and for some reason they're flagged. Either their identity is flagged, or do you somehow interrupt that process, or is it just something that's brought to the attention of the instructor or the school after the fact?
It depends how restrictive you want to be. Some faculties do not want students to continue unless their face is verified. And in those cases, we stop the student from continuing until we manually again verify that yes, or they have to make sure that it is indeed the right student who is taking exam. And other times it's more lenient. What often we do is if the face verification fails a few times, then a one-time passcode is sent to the email of the student if we have with registered, and then student can take that one-time passcode, enter it, and then continue with the exam. But we note that down and we flag that to the instructor that yes, this student did fail on the automatic verification and use this one-time passcode.
I see. So that's a good fail-safe so that you can work around it. The other question I had is about is that the main biometric you use then, is the facial recognition?
Yeah, we are. I mean, there are many other biometrics which are more relevant in different scenarios. For example, if you don't want the camera, but typing pattern may be also a way to verify someone's identity and let them continue with the exam. especially when proctoring is not happening through camera, then simply using typing pattern may also be a good idea. So there are many other ways that can be used for this kind of identity verification.
So you do offer that as an option then?
Right now, we do not. We are still working on other ways.
Okay, so if I'm a faculty member and I've been provided with your product, do I put questions on your system, or is it a sort of a wrapper around the whatever exam tool I'm using in the LMS?
Yeah, no, most of the proctoring tools, they work is that they are more like a wrapper around the exam delivery system, which can be anywhere. It can be inside learning management system, or it can be many other publishers, because faculties are so used to their own exam delivery systems that they like that, and the students are also used to do that. So that's why we have also chosen an approach where we layer our proctoring on top of whatever exam delivery system you can have, whether it is through LMS or it can be McGraw-Hill or somewhere else.
How about ExamSoft? That's popular at some professional schools. Can you work with ExamSoft?
Yeah, ProctorTrack will work with ExamSoft. You have to serve the exam in secure mode, because the lots of security which ExamSoft provides in secure mode are already achieved in ProctorTrack. So you have to serve exam in insecure mode, and then ProctorTrack can be run in parallel as an overlay and do the proctoring.
If I was a student and I was intent on cheating, why can't I just open up a second browser window?
If you open the second browser window, then ProctorTrack can be configured to close it. It does keep an eye on what applications are running on the system, which one is really the one which is serving exam, and which ones are extra and not needed. And if you try to open something which is in the middle of the exam, unless it is whitelisted, it will be stopped. So that way, you are restricted to take the exam only on ExamSoft or whatever browser where you are taking the exam.
I see. So you don't have to worry about yet another product like a lockdown browser, because you take care of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, that's good to know. I'm curious, more and more schools, especially K-12, are going to Chromebooks. Does your product work on a Chromebook?
Yeah, now we have started supporting Chromebook as well. And you are right. Chromebook is very, very popular in K-12. In many military schools, and even I was surprised, even in medical schools, many students were using Chromebooks, and that was that. Now you understand, because of security and privacy, I think mainly security, lots of people are going towards that, and we do support now, which is great.
Yeah, that's good to know. More and more people are using Chromebooks. I used to use a MacBook Air, around campus, but I use a Chromebook now and I love it.
Yeah.
What would you say would be your main innovation over other proctoring solutions? Because there are quite a few out there.
Yeah. I think there are a couple of really important aspects of proctoring, which we as a whole, all of the companies, we have overlooked over time. One is that that proctoring is not only about making it easier for students to take exam. It is also about protecting the integrity of the exam, right? So many companies have chosen to take the path where they want to make it very, very easy for students, like just use a browser plugin to take the exam so that you don't have to install anything. However, that approach of proctoring leads to students run something behind the browser before the exam starts, and that can compromise the integrity of the exam. So what we did is we made ProctorTrack run both as a downloadable application so that you know what is happening on the whole system not only in the browser. And also we have a browser plugin, which also looks at what is happening in the browser. So now you have the complete visibility on what is happening in browser where exam is happening, as well as what is happening outside browser. So I think innovation here is how to provide this level of integrity without compromising the user experience, without making it too difficult for students to use this and take the exam. So that's one big difference between ProctorTrack and actually most of the other solutions out there. And the second one, which slowly market is moving towards, is that use of second camera. Like, you know, mobile phones now, more or less everybody has. So instead of just relying on webcam in the laptop, what if we can use the mobile phone and have a better view of exams, especially that use scratch papers or allows students to take notes or look at the notes, then you can handle different types of exams and still have a way to manage integrity, right? So we do allow now the second camera using web mobile phones, and I think that's really, really awesome.
That is pretty neat. You know, when I first heard about these kinds of proctoring solutions before they were connected with AI, I remember, I forget what company it was, but they would have to purchase, or the school would purchase, a special camera that almost had like a fisheye lens on it that they would have to sit at their desk so it could look all around the area. I don't know if the companies still use that sort of thing? It seems like an expensive way to distribute a piece of hardware.
Yeah, no, I know that was needed at that time, you know, because webcams were not so easily available on all the laptops. And that approach has its own advantage from integrity point of view, because you can have a complete view of what is happening around the camera. It's a wider view. So, but it was not practical because, yeah, having students buy that and then support that kind of device, I think. So that's why the company which used to do that now changed their approach to proctoring, and they use just webcams, which everybody was doing. But having mobile phone now that is everywhere, I think it can have the same level of effectiveness as that approach without having to buy a special purpose camera or device. That's neat about this, yeah.
Interesting. It just occurred to me, I wonder if you know this answer. Do most schools use your product with their online students, or do they also use it in testing centers?
Most of the schools have used in online setting, except this semester when lots and lots of campuses have to move to online, right? Because of the situation we are in. And they are using it for on-campus students. However, there has been a requirement or demand for this kind of technology to be layered upon in testing center to provide a more like an audit report of what's happening in the testing center. So especially in India, we are working with a very large company where we are deploying this as part of testing centers and creating a record of how the exams happened afterward, even though there are invigilators who are providing the exams and managing the exams. But having this as a layer is more like proctoring the proctors, you know?
Interesting.
Yeah.
What's your main market? Is it the U.S.? Is it just higher ed? How does your market pan out?
Yeah, Verificent has traditionally been focused on higher ed in U.S. And lately, we have been expanding in India and in U.S. K-12 market.
I think I want to be respectful for your time. I think we'll probably bring this to a close. I just had one more question for you. First of all, anything you can tell us about the future of your company, where it's moving, any new products on the drawing board, or anything else that you think I missed that we should know about?
Yeah, certainly, Rod. So future, we want to make proctoring more affordable and more secure and more acceptable. So we are working on innovation within the product itself. And in parallel, we also are working on how to help online learning be more effective in a way where there is no need for exams, how to really embed a level of proctoring along the learning in the process so that one can trust that, yes, students are indeed learning from the beginning of the semester and there is an outcome, and not to wait until the finals where everybody's stressed and you have to use very strict proctoring guidelines. So that's another angle that we are working on as a product line.
Wow, that sounds pretty hard to do, but heck, that's what this technology is all about, right?
Yeah. How, using technology to really democratize education in the best way possible, yeah.
Well, Raj, I want to thank you so much for telling us about Verificient and ProctorTrack. Very interesting product. I think there's some competition out there, but it sounds like you have some unique aspects. So I wish you the best.
Thank you, Rod, and thank you all for listening.
That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I certainly learned a lot about proctoring solutions. Don't forget to stay tuned for the song Butterflies in Love. And until next time, have a great week.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to give Rod feedback. You can leave comments on his blog or send email to rod@rodspulsepodcast.com. The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Murray, and does not represent the official viewpoint of the University of the Sciences or any other institution or company.